This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Which Doc is working on a remix of that to Mrs. DJ.
Oh, I like it. No, yeah. I like it indeed.
So we're going to get ready for that. What's up, FUBAR Radio? You are tuned into the sounds of myself, Sarah, and Hugh this week, but no Doc too.
We had a good
the
run,
ongoing
though.
Remix.
We did have a good
show
run.
Lineups is continuing.
But we did have five in a row of all three of us being here?
I know, that was pretty
record.
Seminal business.
Absolute record. Yeah. But yes, of course, it was never going to last forever.
I know. No, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So you never know how it might pan out. And this week, yet again, another Tuesday drive, 4 till 6. Make sure you join us every Tuesday. We have an action-packed show for you. We had guests live in the studio last week. That was lots of fun, so make sure you tune into the podcast if you missed out on this. But this week, we've got some ultra-special, nothing short of legendary. Like, it's often the word legendary gets bounded around, doesn't it?
It does, but not often like this.
Yes, like it's real legendary status guests coming up on the show. We're going to be speaking to the one and only Scorpio of the Furious Five and Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah,
pretty incredible.
Of
course, every week we ask you guys what's been bugging you this week and has made you say, are you taking the piss? Like, for real, though. So we want to hear from you about that. And we're going to be doing some other special bits where we need your advice and ideas about these things, too. So make sure you get in touch with us this week at twitter.com/FUBAR Radio, and you can also email us at tuesdaydrive@FUBARradio.com. How has your week been, Hugh? We missed you last week.
Yeah, I had a really, really bad week, actually.
No!
Yeah.
Why?
I'm sorry to start the show on such a on a downer, bit of a drain on stuff. But literally, like, I'm not even kidding you, I was stuck in Spain on a beach. It was like 30 to 35 degrees, drinking sangria. I had a few cold beers.
I was like getting really worried.
No, it was terrible because there was even one point where I was like, oh man, the bus isn't for another hour. So I just sit here for another hour on the beach under this umbrella.
Consume as much
alcohol
as possible.
I had a really good, I have actually been in Mallorca. It was pretty, I'm not sure if I told you, but I was booked to DJ in some place over there. I had a friend who's like, it was promoting for some sort of resorty, clubby type thing, whatever. So he booked me for it, got everything was organized. And then about a few weeks ago, he turned around and goes, I've been fired. They kind of changed owners and they fired a lot of people. I've actually not even in Spain anymore. He's like, so look, you still, like, everything's, your trip's paid for. Just come and have a holiday. I was like, all right.
Sweet. Oh, wow.
So I was like, sweet. So all I had to do was...
So he wasn't there at all?
He wasn't there at all. So essentially I was actually there by myself.
Okay.
But, so I had to book... All I had to book was my accommodation. And for... I got a one-bedroom apartment in Palma, Mallorca, where the little island in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10-minute walk from like the main beach right in the middle of the city. And guess how much it was? Four nights for that little apartment.
Pound a night.
75 quid.
Yeah.
For four nights.
Yeah, and that's Spain's economy for you.
Pew, pew, pew.
That's the beauty,
man,
of austerity and financial tragedy.
Oh, but I mean, it was so
there's
was
the upsides.
So great. Yeah, yeah. But they were amazing. My landlords and that were, you know, they were amazing. I ended up becoming really good friends and learned a bit of Spanish. I was there on my second day and I went to a cafe. Buenos dias. Uno espresso, por favor. Oh,
and they
yeah.
were like, wow, your accent is
yeah,
amazing.
Your accent is actually very, very spot on. Very, very spot on. Because there's a lot of Spanish Australians.
Yeah?
No.
I didn't think
no,
so. I've not really actually not. Met... I'm trying to think if I've met anyone of Spanish descent in Australia.
No.
Tons of Greek
Enrique?
People.
Enrique? Enrique? No. I don't think so, yeah.
No. But, yes, I'm going to drop a tune first before we get into our big up. Because, you know, every week we ask people, like... what's made you say, are you taking the piss? But I think there's so many people doing cool stuff in the world and they deserve a shout out too. And in the theme of that, and also what we're going to be discussing as this week's No They Didn't, I thought, let's set it off a little something like this.
Smoke weed every day.
I was hoping that it was going to be the correct version.
We were sort of moment, they're sitting there looking at each other.
With bated breath.
Is it coming? Is it coming?
Like, how long do we wait? No one ever knows when that line comes in.
I tell you what, though, it really does leave a little bit of dead air. So you play that on radio and everyone's listening for a second, waiting for a smoke weed every day.
It's everyone's favourite silence in any track, absolutely. Really. You're tuned into the sounds of myself, Sarah, and Hugh, and you're locked into Fubar Radio. And every week, I think, you know, it's so easy for us as British people and Aussies to just complain.
Definitely.
And be miserable.
Yeah.
But I think there's so many people doing cool stuff in the world and we need, you know, to shout them people up. So I think every week we got to do something called
Big Up, Big Up.
And that's our chance where we give people like a bit of a shout out. And this week's Big Up, I'm trying to even remember who last week's Big Up was. I've bigged up Obama for all the stuff he's been doing recently with the gay marriage.
Yeah, and all this gay
so it really can be quite a variety of things. And this week's Big Up is probably going to come as quite a surprise to many people who know me. But I'm sending a massive Big Up out to the UK police.
Big Up, Big Up.
Say what?
That was like scratch the needle off the record, drop the cutlery.
Oh, hang on. I think I know where this is going because months and months and months and months ago, I told you that I found a potential new job for you. And it was basically they were looking for the sign I saw on the tube said whether you're a DJ in a club or a construction worker, the Met Volunteer Police are looking for you. And I thought, oh, there you go. Sarah, so is this it? Sarah Love, are you joining the Met? Are you? Or?
I am.
Awesome.
I'm turning my back on hip hop and I'm turning to the dark side. No, but I think this story, honestly, it's like I feel that there is every cloud has a silver lining because just announced in the last few days, the Derbyshire, Dorset, and Surrey police forces are said to be willing to turn a blind eye to those who grow cannabis, a Class B drug, for personal use in order to focus on more serious crime.
Wow, well, like, that's actually really smart considering like the lack of you see obviously a lot of the lack of funding that the police are getting to the same. That's why we're cutting down on patrols on the streets and all these other things and blah 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 blah. And they also hear the other side of that spectrum where there are people saying, "Well, I called the police about this, you know, but something, you know, maybe a house getting broken in or something, and they came 4 days later, and they're like, yeah, well, it's all on a priority." So if that's great if they, because there has been so much with you know, even in the States we've talked about that with Obama, like, you know, letting people out for you know, non-violent drug related crimes. So if they're putting on the spectrum of, you know, aggravated assaults, rapes, murders, whatever else, you know, and then they are putting such a non-violent crime so far down the list. Did you say to the point of being almost decriminalised?
Well, it hasn't actually been decriminalised. This is all following, I think, the Durham Constabulary were the real trailblazers here because they announced last week that they'd only pursue people growing the drug if they have a specific complaint about it or if the use was blatant. And I think, yeah, obviously, it's like coming to this economic, these tough economic times we're all part of. Purse strings are being pulled in it. So it's like it only draws to attention how suspect the whole like policing of weed is. It's ridiculous, really. When people are allowed to drink, and so drink causes so many, costs the country so much more money, costs the health service money, causes so many more problems. But you know, that's something that is actually advertised on TV and stuff. So it only makes sense to me that this is the right move, and it just makes really the police and the government look silly for all these years that they've been harassing the people. Them.
Well, they pretty much have to face it eventually. And like you said, like, you know, we've got all the, you know, the health system's under such a strain because of alcohol related crime and injuries and stuff like that. People smoke weed, they're investing back into the economy, but they're straight down the offer. You get some chips and some little chalky bugs and little snacky cake.
Just chill out, mate.
Sweeties. We don't want no violence. We want sweeties.
Exactly. So I think, seriously, that needs to be drawn to everyone, definitely, in Derbyshire, Dorset, Surrey and Durham's attention that the police are turning a blind eye to if you're deciding to grow cannabis. So to you guys,
Big Up, Big Up.
I think you definitely deserve that. Now, last week's show, we really missed you. We had some special guests in the studio, and I thought, let's like play a little flavour from those guys.
Sure.
This is actually Sonny Jim, who's from Birmingham, so no, doesn't come under any of those.
Rum and House.
So this features Joker Star and Michael Parkinson, who were in the studio with us last week. This track is called Bow. You're locked into Fubar. Jumping out the bushes. all about celebrating that quality UK music. You're locked into FUBAR Radio, and I'm a bit sad actually that Doc's not here for this part of the show, because often he likes to do a little lap dance, his funky little number.
Well, oh my god.
I think he just really feels the soul and groove.
Do you want me to do some kind of dance? Maybe a slightly different one?
Sure, go for it.
What about, hang on, I'll do like a... well, I don't want to take away Doc's sexiness. I don't want to deprive him of that.
I know, because it's going to be big shoes to fill.
I don't want him to come back and you're like, yeah, that wasn't as good as what Hugh did, so I'm going to give you a little crab dance.
Okay, yeah. It's not quite as sexy, but it's definitely got an appeal. I'm sure there are some ladies out there who...
Pretty hard to see my crab dance, but you definitely heard it. I could hear that.
The calls were impressive. Yeah,
No, they didn't. Of course, each week, we do focus on something that's just kind of made you... scratch your head and go, really? Did they? What?
For
why? This week, Snoop Dogg. Now, Pretty big look. He was on his way, because he has been touring, obviously, around Europe. Released his album, Bush, which we don't need to talk about, but but he has been touring around that
his
album.
His album
anyway.
Is called Bush.
Yes. And
is this as Snoop Dogg, or is this Snoop Lion?
Well, I think it was Snoop Lion, and then he changed it back. He changed it back again. So he changed it from Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion,
okay.
Snoop Puppy, Snoop something. So now it's back to Snoop Dogg thing. But anyway, so this is on Friday and last week. He's coming from Italy over to Britain. He was boarding his PJ, which for the rich kids out there is what's known as a private jet, right? So he's boarding his private jet.
I've never heard it abbreviated to PJ.
It's PJ, babe. It's PJ. And so basically he got stopped by the Italian police for bringing in a little bit of cash that he hadn't declared. Now, a little bit, for me, because he can bring over about $10,000, or maybe perhaps it's pounds. I think it actually is dollars, so that might even be substantially less. What's that, about 5,000 pounds, roughly? 5,000 to 6,000 pounds or something.
US you can
bring
dollars.
Through before. No, it's about 10,000 US, I think.
Yeah, no, you're saying 10,000 US dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So
that's like the minimum.
You don't have to declare. Yeah.
Anything above that, he does need to declare it. So basically, he's brought in a little bit more than that. He came through with cash in his Louis Vuitton luggage, $422,000 American in his luggage, and was like, "Oh yeah, whoops. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I didn't declare it."
What an idiot!
Did you just forget?
But what are you doing with that much money on you anyway?
What the fuck is he doing?
I even get suspicious with these kind of stories, because I feel like these sorts of stories paint an image of him, which obviously he'd love to perpetuate.
Definitely.
But I think you can only be a moron to carry that amount of cash around with you, anyone, anywhere.
Why? I mean, I know my ex, for example, from years ago, she was from Mauritius. So each year she'd go back to Mauritius to Melbourne, and her parents would load her up with all her school fees. So she'd be on the plane, declare it all, of course, but she'd be on the plane with about 30 grand. Mm. You know what I mean? She was like, it was the most terrifying thing she's ever done. She's got to be cruising around with that much money. So people do it for extreme circumstances, but 422 grand. Like, I mean, like, why would you even want to? Why would you even want to travel around with that much money?
But in the middle of a tour, why would you have that amount of money on you anyway?
So,
has he made any kind of statement about this?
Well, they're going through it right now. It's been, immediately seized half of it. They reckon he will get it back. He's just going to have to pay some big fine. But it does beg the question whether it was, did he deliberately just try to sneak it through? Thought, well, he's on his PJ, it's fine, he can just sneak through. If Johnny Depp can get a dog, through customs into Australia.
And what happens with that case?
Oh, I don't know, it was so dumb anyway.
They're seriously pursuing him though, like legally,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, something ridiculous, but Australia's a stupid place anyway.
No, that's good. Like, if there's a rule, it applies to everyone. It doesn't make a difference if you're famous.
Oh, of course, no, it's not that. It's about them wanting to kill a dog for something like that he didn't realise. But I guess for me, I was thinking, Snoop, did he do this deliberately? Did he try to sneak this through? Or is it just a genuine mistake? Because a lot of people bring stuff through customs all the time, and they're like, shit, I would have gotten oh my God, I can't believe I didn't declare that. You know, whether it was like a wood product or like, my sister had like a kilo of heroin. She didn't realise. She just walked through customs, got through, was like,
don't
shit.
Don't even joke about
I was supposed
things
to
too.
Leave
That's
that.
Messed up.
I was supposed to leave that back in that other country.
That's
we won't talk about
up.
It. Anonymous. But you know what I mean? I mean, you travel a lot. Surely you've slipped your mind at some point or something, and you're like, oh, damn. Could have got in trouble for that.
For me, I describe myself as a fruit connoisseur. So I love fruit, and I love discovering new fruit when you go to different parts of the world, because there's fruits that I didn't even know existed, and they're just like standard when you go to other areas. So I remember the first time that I went to Thailand, I found this fruit called mangosteen. Have you had mangosteen before?
I haven't had it, but I've been to Thailand quite a few times. I've seen it.
Oh my god, I love that fruit. I think you can buy them for about £700 a kilo in Harrods or something if you want to taste one in the London area. My family, we all love fruit, so I was like, no, they need to know about mangosteen. I was like, if anyone stops me, I'll just say, I forgot to eat it on the plane. That's my usual line. Sorry, I'm kind of teaching everyone how to break the law. I brought back some mangosteen with me, and then when I opened the plastic bag that I had them in, two little ants crawled out. I was like, no.
Because you know what?
That's so dangerous.
You can actually
I could have like made the whole British ecosystem collapse.
Yeah, and you get in a lot of trouble. You can get in a lot of trouble for like sneaking things that they potentially could have bugs that could lead to, you know, deterioration of any fauna or flora or vegetables or...
Hence, Johnny Depp shouldn't take his dirty dog into the country.
I know.
Just because he's famous and thinks he can get away with it. Which I guess is the same thing. Oh, yes, and that was my thinking behind it. I'm like, I'm Sarah Love. Yeah. I can get away with taking mangosteen.
I do what I want.
Wherever I like in the world. No, but that's probably also what Snoop's thinking in his jet. Different rules apply, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you do have the private jet, you probably, there's definitely going to be an air of, you know, well, I can do whatever I want. I don't need to do this. I can just go straight from my limo to my private jet, do whatever I want. I mean, I don't even know how they I guess with a private jet, obviously it's got to go through the same security systems and stuff like that, doesn't it? So they still got to go through, you know, they're going to have sniffer dogs. They're going to have the thing. They're not just going to let you take whatever you want on there. But, I mean, for him to take... I mean, $422K...
So they say the money came from concerts he performed at in Europe. Yeah. So assumably he's getting paid cash in hand.
He would demand that. He would demand that. Like, you know, I've been events before where it's like Snoop's doing an appearance or whatever, like, you know, like a company. So it's like, you know, I think it might have been Nike or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were doing... it was Vans, actually. It was Vans, of all things.
Yeah.
And Snoop was like, all Snoop was doing was walking through the club. So you get, you know, this whole big night, big event, all these things. And Snoop just literally goes from the front door to the back, the little VIP section where they'd had it completely blocked off to everyone. Mm. And he just walked through there, and he demanded, he wanted 65K cash. He wanted it there at the venue waiting for him. If that's what you want me to do, I want it there.
Yeah.
So I reckon he does. He just demands that's cash. Yeah. But that's stupid. I mean, it's dangerous. Wouldn't you?
Well, it's just ego stroking. I think that's what comes. Definitely. Of course, that's what it is. Yeah. No, because it makes them feel that you're special if you can get people to meet all these ridiculous demands. Yeah. Like, that just doesn't even make business sense. No. It's not safe. It's stupid. Anything could happen. You could accidentally trip over and it go down the drain. I don't know, but you sound like a fool. But so what? They claimed half of this money, though.
Yeah. He'll get it back. He'll just have to pay fine. If anything, it just literally is just like a little publicity thing to make him look like a baller, isn't it? Basically.
Yeah. But I guess he is balling.
Talking about Thailand, though, this actually happened to one of my friends when we come back. They had bought quite a substantial amount of Valium. For whatever reason, I can't remember. They just bought
heroin, Valium.
I didn't realize.
What kind of people are you hanging out with? You,
you. I hang out with you.
I've never
Sarah.
Seen. I don't even know what you. Valium is or heroin.
But anyway, he had just bought way too much and didn't know what he was.
Just
like.
One Valium is too much.
No, but he bought a box and he didn't realize. He was like, "Oh, I'm just going to buy some Valium." Apparently, he just But he had this box and had forgotten about it. Barely even had any or whatever like that, but had forgotten about it, and then came back through when he was unpacking his bag. There was like 200 or something, 200 Valium or 300 Valium. He was just like, holy shit. Like, I didn't like...
From Thailand
to Australia. Like, okay. I mean, I don't know exactly what the repercussions would be from that, but it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. Worst case scenario, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it's drugs. It's legal to buy there. It's illegal to get in Australia without a prescription, but it's not illegal in Thailand. So I don't know what the repercussion would be, but... Don't know. It's just probably one of those cases of you get a fine and a pretty, you know, slap on the wrist.
What was he having the Valium for, to sleep on the plane or something?
Something like that, yeah. But just didn't realise he had just bought, well, that's way too much. I didn't know what I was doing and forgot about it. Because you don't want to take that kind of thing, especially a place like Thailand. Anything. You don't want to do anything.
We won't be seeing you again.
Oh, man, I wouldn't even, you know, I would, you know, like, I wouldn't do anything at all. Wouldn't even get on a plane there with a hangover, you know, man. Just be like, too, like, oh, that really scares the shit out of you going through there, just in case, you know what I mean?
And it was not even just there, yeah. Like mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Many countries that are strict like that. But yes, I mean, what instances have you guys been caught up like this? Maybe you walk around with $500,000 of cash just in your bag to make you feel like the man on the streets.
Yeah.
But we want to hear from you. Hit us up at TuesdayDrive@foodbarradio.com. This was a kind of new track of Snoop's that I was really feeling, actually. I thought he brought it with this one. But no, hit us up. We want to know, like, what do you guys think of that case? Is he just being ridiculous? Is that reasonable? Or maybe you have a tale to tell us.
Have you done it? Have you brought something accidentally through customs? Maybe it's deliberate. Maybe it was accidental. Hit us up. Fubar. Twitter.
Snoop Dogg. Of course, he's using that Rob Bass intro. I like the way he flipped that one. You're locked into Fubar Radio. It's me, Sarah, and Hugh taking care of you. We've been asking you guys what you think about this case with, what's the man called?
Snoop Dogg.
He was just rapping.
Snoop
Lion, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Cat,
and
Snoop
him
whatever.
Getting busted, importing some ridiculous amount of money into Italy or out of Italy. We wanted to know if you guys have ever accidentally smuggled anything, or, you know, gotten busted doing something you shouldn't have been doing when really you knew better. And we've heard from, what's the lady's name?
We've got a tweet through. It's at Fubar Radio. Hit us up anytime. It's from Mia in Essex, and she said she once brought back some hash chocolate from Amsterdam. She says, I was a bit nervous about having it in my luggage, but it went through. No problems. Although, to be fair, the chocolate was from some gift shop and was probably just plain chocolate bar. And Mia, it sounds like you're still stoned. That's what it still sounds like. She's like, you forgot what the story was about and then changed it to something just a chocolate bar. I'm paranoid. The paranoid was in there. Chocolate was in there. Amsterdam was in there. Weed was in there. See the four elements in that story, Sarah? The four elements, and they all just swirled around like a chocolate hash cake. They
but
really
hold
did.
On, was she saying that she did it accidentally?
Well, apparently she did it accidentally. But that is, you know, I've always wondered about that one with the Amsterdam, because I've had mates.
Have you been to Amsterdam?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I've had mates like go, mates that smoke pot go to, this was a long, long time ago, to 10, 15 years ago or something like that. I think they were going to New Zealand or somewhere, or Japan maybe. Mm-hmm. And just from the smell of pot on their clothes, from the sniffer dogs, they didn't have any pot on them, but just from the smell of pot on their clothes, they got strip searched. Fully.
In like, which country, Dorian?
Horrible. I think it might have been Japan or New Zealand. I can't remember which one.
Wow.
Something like that.
As in the dogs sniffed them out?
Yeah, they were on a snowboarding trip.
I feel so bad for these drug dogs, you know, because they're all just like crackheads, isn't it?
They are all crackheads.
It's such a liberty.
You're training.
I feel
Imagine
so
the
bad
training.
For them.
Oh, I don't. They're having to be the best time. That's more for me.
It's terrible.
But so what I've always wondered about Amsterdam is that if people are obviously going over there, even coming back from Amsterdam really, really high into a place where it's illegal to buy weed or, you know, obviously, you know. So do people get in trouble for that? If coming back with weed, with like not even with weed on them from Amsterdam, but say they're coming back to Heathrow, if they're like stoned out of their mind, or they're just like they've literally just had a spliff before they got on the plane because they're allowed to, what happens when they come back to Heathrow and they're like blazed and stinking of weed and blah, 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 blah?
I don't think that's comes as a crime. I don't think that's considered a crime, though, is that?
But would it be like my mates? Would it be enough for them to get stopped and searched and da 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 da?
Oh, but they could stop and search anyone, even if you didn't smell of weed. Like, they could just decide, right, we're going to mess with chill today.
But like my point being that, like, say with the dogs, so the dogs pick up the smell.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do people, are there stories of people getting more harassed coming back from Amsterdam than usual, or?
I don't know. I don't think it seems that on top, like, compared to other parts of the world where there's like more heightened security for people coming to other parts of the world. I don't think they're that bothered, to be honest, about like Amsterdam, really.
Yeah.
But I think, that would be a violation of your rights if they tried to arrest you or something because you smoked in Amsterdam. Like, that's not allowed.
Yeah.
But I mean, they can trouble whoever the hell they like.
Yeah, they sure can. Well, there you go. Fair enough, Mia. All right, we're with you on this.
Tweezers. Time. Queen Bee has hit us up on Fubar saying she's smuggled tweezers.
Really?
We need to know more. Queen Bee, hit us up again at twitter.com/foodbarradio. What's that mean?
Maybe
it's mystical.
Really big ones.
And
maybe
then Simon and Nikki have said, I've sneaked through some knuckle dusters from Bulgaria. well, I put them in Nikki's case, a bit naughty. Oh, that's cold-blooded.
That is.
So then you're like, what really were you going to do if Nikki got busted? You'd just like keep walking, that's disassociate really yourself, and then hopefully catch up with them at home.
That is really, really mean. Surely that's got to be some like a relationship breaker. And they go, oh, sorry, yeah, I forgot that I put that in your bag.
Actually, but if something like knuckle dusters, is that even illegal?
Well, I think it probably is because it was...
Because you could kind of mess someone up with that.
Well, you could definitely... I mean, obviously you can't take that in hand luggage, can you? You can't take knuckle dusters on the actual plane. So it depends. But even if it's going through your luggage, I think it's probably something... It's technically a weapon. It would have to be definitely declared at the absolute least.
No, so. I do so much travelling. So it's like I've managed over the years to work out all the different systems and loopholes in negotiating like all the different stages of travel. And I remember back in the day, like this is the most annoying thing about like the shoe bomber dude and 9/11 is they were just so inconsiderate about what we're all going to have to deal with at the airport.
Thank you.
Now, because of that shoe bomber guy, we've got to take our shoes off at the airport. It's so annoying.
You have to take your shoes off the airport?
I remember.
Of course, going through security.
I remember back in the day, I used to always I had a Swiss Army knife from the first time I went to Switzerland, which was when I was like 11 or something. And I carried that around on my key ring like for until about 9/11. Sorry, 9/12. And yes, but you know, nowadays... can't do any of that. But the whole thing with weapons and stuff on planes is so ridiculous because a tissue could be a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
You could turn anything into a lethal weapon. But like a plastic fork that they give you could be a lethal weapon. So really, it's not logical. Like any determined criminal is going to find a way. Like if you're determined to smuggle drugs or you're determined to like do that Hatton Gardens heist, diamond heist and all that stuff, like you're going to make it happen. If you're determined to bring mangosteen back from Thailand, you're going to make it happen.
Exactly, Sarah. Sarah, love you. But they take it so seriously as well. Well, like my brother, he's going to a wedding not that long ago, and they said at airport security, have you got anything sharp on you? And he said, just my suit. And they were like,
no jokes
don't even
allowed.
Joke. Don't even joke
Which
about
country
it, buddy.
Was that?
Oh, I can't remember where he was.
Because in America, there's signs in the airport that say no jokes allowed.
Yeah, no, like we don't, at all. Yeah. Not even if they're not related to security and stuff. No, just no jokes. Full stop.
But even any to jokes. Signpost it.
Chicken cross the road. Forget it. Out the door. Gone. Don't want to hear that one.
To signpost it.
Do you know what happened when I went to Spain? I actually did try to smuggle something through customs.
Oh, really?
When I went to Spain.
What were you smuggling?
It's pretty full on, actually. But I am a bit of a raw dog. It's just how I live my life, Sarah, love. You know, I grip it and I rip it. And if I want to do something wild, do you know what's going there?
Sorry, you were smuggling into Spain or out of Spain, you're saying?
In.
Gosh,
yeah.
People are just doing it all the time, isn't it?
They
what are you smuggling into Spain?
Well, basically what happened was I was running late for my plane. I had already checked in, but as it stood, I was only going to get there just in time to make it. So I was literally like, it's at Gatwick. So I was like legging it from the thing,
Gatwick.
Running. I know, it's a terrible, terrible airport to get to. And so I'm running, blah, 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 get to the thing, security, throw all my stuff through, run. They're like, oh, your belt. I just took my pants, just threw everything. I was like, please, the plane's about to leave, please. It's going to like, it's about to take off any minute, you know what I mean? So I'm like running through. And then, of course, when you're in a rush like that, they stop you. Your bag goes through security and they stop me. They pulled me aside. They're like, do you think you might have made a bit of a mistake here, pal? Might have made a little bit of a mistake. I was like, what? Please just tell me. Like, I'm just a mean thing. No, I hadn't put all my liquids. I didn't want to put them in my plastic bag because I'm a raw dog.
I don't care.
I don't care about the rules. All right? So they did. They stopped me and they threw everything out and I lost all my stuff. And that's why I haven't worn deodorant or brushed my teeth in a week.
I didn't want to say anything, but I was...
Do I stink?
No.
Do I actually stink?
No, but thank goodness everything worked out all right in the end.
We've got some more coming through as well. We'll get to those shortly.
But, you know, if you know the techniques, things can pan out all right in the end, as Kendrick Lamar will preach to us right about now. Coming up shortly, we've got some Dr. Dre announcements for you too, so keep it locked to FUBAR. Got us, then we gon' be all right.
Full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming.
I think many
in the
people
are
kind
room.
Of wondering
I didn't want to
eternally what this monologue part
the
is about.
Was all around me.
I ain't hating.
No. So I went running for answers.
We're just talking over the top.
He went running for answers, but he just didn't give us any. That's Kendrick Lamar, of course. Go support that album. It's dope.
It is indeed.
And you were saying that we had some other people with their illegal stories of illegal activities.
Well, we have just been chatting here on FUBAR about Snoop Dogg trying to bring through $422,000 in cash on his private jet from Italy over to Britain, and he got caught. So we've been talking about, you know, whether we don't know whether that was deliberate or whether that was accident by Snoop. But so we've been asking you guys if you've brought something through customs accidentally or deliberately that you weren't supposed to. And we've had another a tweet come through at FUBAR Radio from Denny and from Peckham, who just wanted to give their opinion on the whole thing as well. And Denny says, I think it's ridiculous to carry around that amount of money. I feel self-conscious carrying around like 50 quid.
Yeah, true that.
I feel self-conscious carrying an Oyster card around, man.
I do. 50 quid, I'd get it changed into two 20s and a 10 and definitely at least put 20 in my sock or in my jocks or something like that. It's just too much money to carry around these days, Sarah. Too much money
in these times of austerity.
Tell you what is very, very exciting though is getting some pretty big news from Dre. Just dropped on us in the last couple of days. In fact, should we not even spoil the surprise? Should we just hear it from the man's mouth himself?
Okay.
He announced this officially. This is the worldwide exclusive announcement of something very, very exciting coming from Dre, and this is on his own radio show over in the States with Ice Cube and a few other people as well. Check this out, man. It's pretty amazing.
I am Dr. Dre, and this is Beats 1, baby.
Yeah. There you go. Heard it from the man himself. Big news. First album from Dre. Yeah, first solo album in 16 years. What was it, 99? That 2001 came out. So this is, I reckon that this would definitely be his, this is going to be his grand finale. He's calling it. This is going to be like his big out. He's not going to do any more solo records after this. This would be his last one.
Mm.
Yeah.
It always makes me laugh when people say that kind of thing. Like, how can you possibly know that? How can you know if in 16 years' time he won't want to do another record? I think also it was like, what do you make of all this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that, Detox, because that's obviously the thing that's been kind of hyped over the last few years as well. And, you know, there's been a few things leaked and stuff like that too. And then he's just completely scrapped it. I mean, there's probably going to be a few people pretty sure that were featured on that record or whatever. But what can you do? It's Dre. I mean, and he is renowned as being such a complete perfectionist that if anybody was going to turn around and go, yo, I'm just about to drop an album, and then they turn around and go, no, it would probably be Dre. You know, something's like, it's not perfect. It's not absolutely perfect. You know what I mean? So, but I think it's pretty, I mean, it's great timing as well. That obviously you've got the Straight Outta Compton, the doco is launched internationally on the 14th of August. So he's dropping
my birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's why they're dropping it on the 14th.
I wondered.
Were like, well, we understand how much Sarah loves hip hop, so yeah. Just for you.
I did actually wonder about that. That's really, really sweet. So I mean, it's good. I mean, it's obviously him being such a big part of that legacy as well. He obviously just felt really inspired by it, I guess. And I just think it's funny as well that he just turned around and goes, this is only a few days ago. A couple of days ago, he's turned around and go, cool, yeah, I'm dropping an album for the first time in a very, very long time. Completely different to what I'd previously said that I was going to do, and it's out in a few days.
I definitely like the story of saying, going through the whole process of making the film, that he just felt so inspired that he'd drop an album. And looking at dropping an album, but I think he was definitely smart to drop the whole Detox idea, because it was just way too much anticipation to ever live up to. People were waiting on this, like the second coming of Jesus or something, and it's like it's just too much to put on an artist. And God knows what level of completion that was actually at, like outside of just his mind kind of thing. So I think he definitely played it right, because either way, Detox was gonna bomb, because it was never gonna meet everyone's like childhood dreams of what it could possibly be. So he did the right thing to just like say, forget that, let me just make an album and I'll just call it something else. I'm going to jump on the hype that's surrounding the NWA story film and help promote that also. And then he's also released like the track list that goes of the album, and it's almost like a Marcia Ambrosius record, and with some Kendrick Lamar. He's got Exhibit on there, Kendrick Lamar. He's on like three songs. Yeah, Marcia Ambrosius on four songs. King Mez, who I'm struggling to remember who that is. Snoop's on a track. You've got
M's back on as well.
Eminem is on one song.
Well, with Cube too, which would be good.
It's quite. I can't say that really looking at the track list that I'm like, oh my god, I can't wait to nervous.
I'd be curious. I'd be very, very curious. To see. I tell you one thing, though,
I don't feel that bothered.
Something that really, really made me scratch my head was that he's releasing this exclusively and only on Apple iTunes.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, well...
So he's in bed with them.
Well, what do you do if you don't even have that? It's just going to be torrent the shit out of that.
Well, I guess it's the same strategy as, what's their name? Tidal. That's it, isn't it? Like, I guess they're hoping that this is just going to make such a big impact that everyone's going to be running over there to stream it and sign up. I think, like, also, I haven't actually heard his radio show yet on there. But have you heard it?
Not much. No, just little bits and pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, not heard any. That's the first time that I've heard anything. But so I'll definitely be interested to tune in. And I'm curious, like, because, you know, the instrumentals he was choosing on the show, just there on that little soundbite we used, he had, like, a couple Dilla productions. Mm. Well, a couple, more than a couple. He played Dilla Soul Stakes as High and stuff like that. But it's been such a long time since I've ever, like, associated Dre with any of that whole sound and side of hip hop, really. So it's quite, that's kind of blown my mind.
I think, and it's a pretty, obviously, pretty exciting time as well. Have obviously Dre doing something for the first time in a long, long time, and then having the NWA film come out a week later as well. It's good. I think it's a good thing.
I'm definitely curious. Curious. No, but the problem with these things is that it can be quite hair raising, also, I find, because, you know, you worry, like, okay, is this just going to make a complete mockery of the NWA story? or is this actually going to do these guys justice? I think the other thing with Dre too, like, I really have no idea, and I couldn't possibly vouch for what this record could potentially sound like, because really, who is producing it? Because we know, like, there's a lot of, like, from the his last album where, you know, there's a gang of ghost producers and writers. Yeah. I mean, through his whole career, even rapping also. So I wonder if he's actually rapping on any of these tracks.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think maybe on the collab with Ice Cube, perhaps.
Who knows? And maybe the one with Snoop or something. Yeah. Who knows? So that's also I mean. It's like hard to say really what we're signing up for when we're getting this kind of thing.
It does almost like what you're saying though. Like he's scrapped Detox and then done this release kind of like sort of a bit half-assedly. Like he hasn't released much information about it. He hasn't given it any length of time to promote it, and he's doing it exclusively on Apple iTunes.
But I think that's the style nowadays, isn't it?
Beyonce trick.
Yeah, because I think they're realizing that as soon as you like put word out, then the next thing that happens is people leak all your music, so what actually has the most impact is, oh my god, Dre just suddenly dropped an album.
Yeah.
And so then that actually creates more storm than having like a month of promo kind of thing. So no, I'm definitely going to like check it out come 7th of August and see Wagwan, fam. But I think in the spirit of NWA, you know, we had to drop some proper flavour. Yeah. So let's get into some of this. Keep it locked to Foo Bar Radio. You're with Sarah and you. Awful lot of swearing going on there.
Fuck the police. Unless they decriminalise pot out in the out of boroughs of London. Definitely, big up.
Because if they do that, they get a big up. So if they want to be down, they need to move with us. Jesus. It is Foo Bar Radio. I was curious to know what like the Foo Bar listeners think of this whole Dre album. Are you guys excited? Are you just like wetting your pants with excitement over this release due on the 7th? I would love to hear from you. So make sure you get in touch. You can email us at tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com. Of course, Twitter is available too. Now, this... it was this last weekend, wasn't it, that you were at the Splash Festival?
Splash, in Brixton on Sunday.
Is that about?
It's amazing. It's just a big... as far as I knew, I had not heard too much about it. So it was my first one there, but it's a big festival. So Brixton was like, you know, there was... I'm just going to throw it out there. Hundreds of thousands of people, I'd say, running around. But, I mean, lots of good tunes. There's like, you know, I didn't get a chance to see the whole festival because I'll tell you why very, very shortly. Absolutely fucking traumatized experience.
Oh, damn.
But it was good. There was, you know, there was just a lot of good reggae and dub, and there was a few, like, you know, a couple of grime stages and stuff like that. And it was good, man.
But
pretty much, I mean, I don't know, I can't tell you the names of the streets and stuff like that.
No, but I mean, in the street, not in a park.
Everywhere in Brixton. Everywhere as far as my eye could see, left, right, and centre, from getting off the tube at Brixton. And that main
the roads
what's
were closed.
What's that main street there?
Brixton Hill?
Brixton Hill.
No, but the roads were closed off.
There's thousands of people everywhere.
Roads were closed off.
As far as I could see, Brixton was only a sea of people. There's nothing else you could see except just people shoulder to shoulder.
So the roads were closed off.
Well, they have to be if there's people everywhere.
No, because it's like that sometimes. You know, it was like that on Oxford Street yesterday, but there was still traffic going on kind of thing.
All of Brixton was a festival. All of Brixton was a festival. It was great. It was a really, really nice vibe, but I had warned, and I just sort of had a conversation with the people that I went beforehand saying, yo, we did, you know, I am feeling a little bit dusty from last night. You know, how rowdy does this get? Like, and how rowdy is this going to be? Is it just going to be a chill Sunday festival, everyone cruising around? Or are we talking about a little bit more of a Notting Hill Carnival vibe? Just prepare me. What am I in for here? Because I haven't been to this and I'm feeling really fragile. All right? And they were like, nah, it's going to be cruisy. It'll be really, really chill. Blah, blah, blah. Sweet. Let's go there. You get off of the tube, looking around. And I'm like, yeah, okay, it's not too bad. It is super, super busy. And then we could hear someone was like, oh, yo, there's a stage just down one of the side streets I wanted to go and check out. And we're like, cool. So we just sort of made our way through there. Already, just getting from the tube, that was enough to make me feel a bit like, I don't know if this is a good idea. This is a night. This was, you know, it was cool. It was a good vibe and all that. But I was just like, not good at crowds. I think you and I have discussed this before as well, especially at festivals and stuff. Mm. Not good at being stuck in big crowds. Not favourite thing in the world.
Yeah.
By any minds. But being, you know, unable to move too far. So we take about 10 or 15 steps down this side street off. Would you say it was Brixton Hill Road or something?
Brixton Road. Hill, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Within 15 steps, I found myself completely in a situation where I was not only shoulder to shoulder from complete both sides of the street, from left to right, completely, there was nowhere to move at all, but I couldn't even move limbs. I couldn't move an arm. I couldn't put my hand in the sky. I couldn't move a leg.
Have you been to Notting Hill Carnival? No, because you got here after that, yeah.
But man, it was like, and I was like, oh fuck, this is turning into my nightmare. Really, really, this is like not what I wanted. So I'm like trying to like slowly move through this crowd. And it literally just got to the point where people were getting so aggy with each other because it was just like people were like pushing and shoving and shit like that. And people were like, fuck, and it started getting really aggy. And I was like, whoa, hang on, This ain't good. I was like, so I'm trying to move because I'm feeling like shit and I really don't like being stuck in crowds anywhere. And every which way I turned, I basically turned from facing the front to do a full 360. I tried every person around me saying, sorry, I'm just going to get through. And they went, nah. Hey, sorry, I just got to get, nah. I was like, fuck, what do I do? How long am I going to be stuck in this fucking crowd for? Fucking getting pushed and shoved and I'm going to be sick, I'm scared, I don't feel fragile. Fuck, man, do you know how long it took me to get through that to a point at the end of the road where I could at least walk around and do shit again and not be like, because people were getting fucking really aggy, like, you know, you know, because everyone's pushing and shoving and, you know, There's people of all ages, and there's all people, you know, there's people, and people are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it just really felt like, I was like, oh, fuck, this is a bit sketchy. It took me 2 hours to go through one little side street, fucking shoulder to shoulder like sardines to get to the other end.
But you say there were stages.
Oh, I couldn't even see the stage by that point because I was so stuck in the middle of this sea of people just completely, it was like a mosh pit at some point. It was like, fucking hell, man.
Because even at Notting Hill Carnival nowadays, there's a lot of, like, organising the crowd stuff that happens to make sure that you don't have these congested parts and stuff, and then even still it happens there, so I don't know whether in Brixton they were doing that. But what is the premise of Splash? I mean, like, what is
it's just like a sort of celebrating Brixton and local music and local artists and stuff. Like, it was actually like a wicked vibe, like, from when I got off the Brixton tube and had a look around and had a good 15-20 minutes to chill. I was like, yes, because I fucking love Brixton. You've taken me out to grill out in Brixton and stuff before. Like, I love it out there, and I've been out there quite a few times now. As soon as I got into that position of, like, there were people in that crowd having a good time. They were having fun and just, you know, doing their thing and having a laugh. But for me, being trapped in a crowd like that, that's like my fucking pet. But I'm pet hate. So yeah, as soon as that happened,
it's tough even for someone who's
a blinkers on, and I was just like, I can't even think. I can't do anything until I get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, even just thinking about it makes me so.
No, it's tough being in those crowds, even if you're someone who can, you know, isn't bothered majorly by crowds and stuff. But no, I mean, so there are stages and things, and what, it's all local performers, or they had like big name people? Like, what's the music wise? What's going on there? Because I did hear about it, but I've not actually ever.
Well, it just seemed it was you know, like a lot of reggae, a bit of dub, a bit of hip hop, a bit of. of grime and stuff. I mean, I didn't get to see too much, and I didn't even know too much about it. I just heard Festival in Brixton.
But there wasn't like any major artists performing or something.
I definitely did not catch any of them if there were. Any, I wanted to spend the whole day out there, but I spent about half an hour getting to this little side street, 2 hours getting through that side street, and then an hour to get straight home.
Deep breaths. Brixton is a story that really breaks my heart, actually. I saw this wicked article the other day where it was a photographer who like had taken pictures of Brixton like in the 70s and 80s and stuff. And then so I was just like flicking through these pictures and it was like, wow, that was like such a magical time where we had had no idea how magical it was, and it's just becoming quite unrecognizable. I don't know if you saw, maybe we even spoke about this on one of the previous shows, but how there was like a bit of some protests kicked off in Brixton because it's like people protesting against like the gentrification of Brixton, and then they like trashed the Foxton estate agent, which I found quite funny that that was like the target of their woes sort of thing. But so I was just quite curious as to how in what way Brixton was represented at this Splash thing. Because I'm not even sure how long it's been running for, this Splash Festival.
Well, I definitely heard of it. I mean, I'm going to say that overall it was good. It was really good. It was actually really nice. It was just, unfortunately for me, I just got found in a, I found myself in a situation which is like one of my biggest pet hates. And that is being unable to move in a crowd and just being like, fuck.
No, it's pretty tough.
Maybe I suffer from some form of like claustrophobia or some shit. I don't even really know.
Probably. I think that's quite common though to people feeling like that about, because you need to like, but you're losing control of your surroundings. You need like the get out plan. That's fair enough to feel like that. But there's an event happening this Sunday, which is going to be drawing like thousands of people through there, but it won't be intense like that. It's fun for all of the family, and I cannot wait to DJ up there. It's called The Bridge. It happens at South Bank. But yeah, we're going to tell you more about that on the other side of this track, because we're going to be speaking to the lady who organises it, and it is super, super ill. So hold tight for that. And immediately after speaking to Kate, who organises this event, The Bridge at South Bank, we're going to be talking to some legendary status, hip-hop, iconic people.
Amazing.
They're going to be right here on FUBAR, so keep it locked. JD La Productions. You're locked into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and Hugh. No Doc with us today, but on the line we have a very special lady. Kate, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, Sarah. Hello.
Hey, it's lovely to hear your voice, and I am so excited for the jam this Sunday. What's happening for the people that don't know?
Too.
What's it all about?
So what's happening is this weekend at South Bank Centre, there's a festival called Urban, which is basically a sort of celebration of street culture, so hip-hop, urban sport, you name it, people that are using the city in interesting ways. And this year's festival has been programmed by me and Billy Business. And on the Sunday, we've got our annual event, The Bridge, as part of that. So it's basically from midday till 10 p.m. It's like a free festival of hip-hop culture. So we've got all manner of dancers, so hip-hop, breaking, house, popping, DJs. We've got obviously the lovely Sarah Love. We've got Big Ted, DJ Business, Mr. Thing, and Trey. So we've got some really nice DJs, and then we've got loads of graffiti. Basically, it's a huge street party, and it's free.
It's amazing.
It's really fun, isn't it? It's really good fun, and it's basically the, you know, what hip-hop's really all about. So it's very much all ages, all backgrounds, any people just having fun together outside.
Is this the third year doing it now?
Yeah, it's the third year. And this year we're kind of tying it into another project that we run that you're also teaching at, funny enough, Sarah, Poppin' Peaks Pop Shop, which is taking place from 11th to 16th of August over in Shoreditch. And so we've got Poppin' Pete, who people will remember from Breaking the Movie, Michael Jackson videos like Thriller, but more recently he's worked with like Gwen Stefani, Chris Brown, and he's just a total legend. So he's coming over on Friday, so he's going to be at the Bridge as well, doing a little throwdown, a pop-in, little freestyle. And then obviously next week then we've got a whole pop-up festival for a whole week in a 3,000 square foot gallery. So yes, it's a busy 10 days.
That's amazing. Kate, you were saying earlier about urban sport. What's that, like dice? What's urban sport?
Urban sport. I mean, urban. I don't really like the word urban.
I was going to say too. Yeah, I hate that word.
I was wondering.
I know that wasn't your idea, Kate.
No, but you know what? For this festival, the word urban actually does work. It's talking about urban environments and city landscapes. And so, in terms of urban sports and street athletes, as we kind of call them, we're working with crews like Block Workout from Brixton, who do calisthenics, and they basically, you know, they're using body weight exercises to get fit. And trust me, these guys and girls are really fit.
What about like parkour and stuff like that?
Yeah, we've got parkour down there. Yeah. We've got parkour. Calisthenics is more like body weight. So, you know, pull-ups from the bars, park jams, all that stuff you see happen in parks now with people using body weight to get fit. So we've got a series of urban workout training sessions. So Block Workout are going to be there on Saturday teaching calisthenics and their kind of unique take on using the city. Then we've got a parkour, we've got Run Charlie Dark's Run Them Crew, and if you don't know, get to know Charlie Dark. Run Them Crew are amazing, like running crew. They're like, it's like a hip-hop family, but they run, so they're not a traditional kind of running club, straight laced. They're fun, they're creative. They have a brilliant project called The Youngers, where they engage young people in running, basically. And over a period, I think it's about 6 months, they basically train, and they're not runners. They train, but they run a 10K, and alongside it, they do all these different graphic design projects. And I was speaking today actually to the people that look after the video and photo kind of stuff for Run Them, and they're ex-youngers, so they're young people that have, you know, become engaged in sport and in, you know, having positive active life. So yeah, it's going to be really brilliant. So that's nice. What we're talking about in terms of urban sport.
But it doesn't exclude people from rural areas, though.
Apparently not.
See, that's what I think is tough with the title urban. That's what I think is tough about the term urban, is that what do we call the music that people who are from outside a city are making?
I think you say keeping it rural.
Rural music. No.
Yeah, rural beats.
And any label, it never works. Like, you can't generalise. And, you know, the thing that I love about hip-hop, and I know you do too, is that you can go anywhere in the world and this culture is thriving. Mm. You know, in places where they don't really have, you know, much access to the internet, hip-hop is there. You know, when there's places where they, like, don't have any, like, multiculturalism, hip-hop is there. Anywhere there's sort of political unrest, hip-hop is there. And so, you know, it's not at all about the city.
No, not at all. Yeah. But that's what I think is so exciting about the Bridge event that you do every year at South Bank, is that is, you know, well, it's not only one of my favourite events of the year, like in London. Yeah, like, right? Honestly, it's right up there, and it's just so much fun. And for free, it's like everyone's favourite prize.
And so much involved as well. It sounds like an absolute beast to organise. So massive big ups for being on top of this.
Because it is actually, you know, such, it really is hip-hop in its purest essence, you know, so for being all ages, all backgrounds, like, you've got some business, DJ Billy Business, Big Ted and Mr. Thing, they're some, like, my favourite DJs in the history of the UK, and so, you know, they have the earlit, they're bringing some serious tunes, but then also the dancing, like, you know, my mum was getting down in the circle last
year.
She repped, and it was so funny, because Ty, who was actually on the show a few weeks ago, he was like, as soon as, after that day, I understood a lot about you made sense to me. He's like, after seeing your mum getting down and battling with the other dancers.
And then Poppin' Pete last year, your dad was on the dark floor. So
he was in the zone, man.
I do, really, is a family affair. You know, that, to me, hip-hop is, that is hip-hop. It's family, it's young people, it's all ages.
Community.
You know, it's community. And that, to me, is why every now and then I think, oh, maybe I should just go and get a job.
You know, oh, hell no.
You're like, the hustle gets too much. And then you do something like that and you're like, I can't do anything else. This is what life, we need more things where people come together and have fun and generations integrate. And I think hip-hop gets such a bad rap generally, you know, it's this, it's that, it's this. And actually people miss the point. Real hip-hop, you know, that's, imagine if we had real hip-hop jams in all communities where there was unrest. God, people would, it would be happier. People would communicate. They would understand that differences can be put to one side.
Well,
you know
for
I mean?
Real. And talk it after you, we're going to be talking to Sugar Hill Gang and Scorpio of Furious Five. And it's just interesting because they even touched on that because, you know, we got into all the details about the early Park Jam days and the Bronx and everything. So that was definitely interesting. But let the people know, what link should they hit up if they want to find out more about the jam? I think it's so fresh and I want to see everyone's smiling face down there enjoying the freeness. Oh, yeah, so where should they go if they want to find the info?
They can go to Southbank Centre and look at the Urban Weekend Guide, or they can go to scannersinc.org, which is my website. And I have all the information about the bridge on there, yeah. And
Poppin'
Pete as well.
Lovely. So good to talk to you, Kate, and I'm going to see you on Sunday.
You
and you never know.
Can't wait.
Maybe this jam will end up getting played on Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how people get down to
it. It says bring your grand too. I'm going to bring my 92-year-old. She'll be down there.
No, she'll love it.
Seriously. Yeah. I bring my mum. She's in her 70s. She loves it.
Seriously, there's three generations of my family go down every year. It ain't no joke. But thank you so much, Kate. We'll catch you soon.
Pleasure.
Peace.
Peace. Bye.
It's one of them ones that like, oh. They didn't have time for the full like 10-minute version of that car.
Sneaky.
What a classic jam though.
Yeah, indeed.
It's kind of crazy. Big ups to Kate representing for the bridge, the event happening this Sunday at Southbank. Make sure you join us for that. Keeping in that, the reason why I had to drop us some Sugar Hill Gang right there, because earlier on today I was lucky enough to catch up with some certified OG, legendary, iconic status artist in this popular music business. It's not even just about like legendary on a hip-hop scale, like just in pop music levels. It's kind of nuts when you think the impact that they have, and then when you think how massive hip-hop is these days. And so I was lucky enough to speak to the main man, Scorpio of Furious Five, and the crew Sugar Hill were in the house too. So let's get into some of that right now. You are locked into FUBAR Radio, and here is our exclusive interview. By the way, I'm Sarah Love. I'm a DJ from out here in the UK, and I'm very dedicated to the art form of the original essence of hip-hop. So for me, it is such an honour and a joy to be joined on the line right now with a certified legend in the game, the one and only Scorpio, representing the original days of hip-hop, and here on the phone line representing Sugar Hill. How are you doing, Scorpio?
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing? That's right, Scorpio from the original group Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. We're in the building along with my man representing Sugar Hill Gang. What's up?
Hey guys, it's so lovely to have you here. Where are you guys?
Right now we're in Bournemouth.
In where, sorry?
Bournemouth.
In Bournemouth, I see. And you're on tour at the moment, is that correct?
Yes.
And so what is the show? You guys, it's like Sugar Hill and Scorpio out on the road together, is that right?
Yes, it's Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Spirit 5, Melly Mella, Scorpio.
Wonderful.
You know what I mean? That's how we're doing it.
Fantastic. And we're going to be having a treat to get to see you in London. I hope I'm going to be able to make it to the show. It's one of those shows, like, if you're a hip-hop fan or just a fan of popular music, it's a gig, really, that you can't miss, being that you guys have been such important contributors to, like, one of the most influential genres in the world. Like, how does that feel? Like, you know, really to take that on board, really, like, hip-hop is so pivotal, and you guys have played such a key part in that. Like, what is that feeling like today in 2015 to look back on your careers?
I mean, it's really, you know, to be honest, it's a bittersweet, you know what I mean? It's sweet to something that, you know, you had a hand to help, you know, birthing and seeing how many branches, you know, just grew from that one original root, you know what I mean? And the bitter part is that, you know what I mean, we still have to, you know, stay out here and do what we do to get to that next level, to get to the real next big economic. And that's what, you know what I mean? Because at this point, you know what I mean? I know a lot of people just think because we old school, we just want to say it's for the love. But right now, you know, it's also for the economics, like everybody else. So, you know what I mean? So once we get all of that to line up with our legendary status, then it's all up.
For real. I mean, we've all got bills to pay, haven't we? And I guess, like, now, hip hop artists are very like business savvy and we're aware of like how the industry works and all that. But taking it back to those early Park Jam days, I can imagine people weren't really thinking on like those sort of business terms then. It was more about your rep. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, it's 100% fair to say. I mean, it was all about the reputation. And, you know what I mean? Yes, your ghetto celeb back then. You know what I mean? We wasn't, you know, and that's when it was purely for the love. You know what I mean? We was just doing it just to do it. You know what I mean? Especially coming out of, you know, the Bronx where it was a lot of gang violence. Not the gang violence level you see today where people actually get killed. But yes, knucklehead people just fighting each other and having zip guns and stupid shit like that. So the music was definitely just an alternative. You know what I mean? So that's why when you hear cats like Afrika Bambaataa and you know what I mean? They was all like, you know, they come from the gang culture and the music was just the alternative, you know?
Yeah, and what a wonderful thing, though, you know, to be able to turn that energy to something constructive. I used to live in the Bronx for a short time, and, like, for me, being in the Bronx even in these recent years, it's like I could still feel that energy and that aura. Like, it was just so exciting for me to be on those same streets where it all began. Like, take me back to those early Park Jam days. Like, what was it like? I wish I could have been there. Describe it to me. Like, what was it like to be at a Park Jam in the BX?
I mean, being at a Park Jam is almost like the equivalent of a kid right now going to an amusement park. It was that type of energy for us, you know what I mean? Just to be in the park and DJ Scratch and rhymes for the first time. It was like, for us, it was like being in an amusement park, man. It was, I mean, it was so much love that, you know, you almost like have to be there to really understand the spirit that was connected to that, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's why I guess a lot of people, you know what I mean, still be like, when they think of old school, I don't know what they really think, but, you know, that was like the best time in our lives. Even though it's more money involved, and, you know, you got the Jay-Z's, you got the Puffy's and all of the moguls and on that level, but I would still trade. No, I'm lying. I still want the big money. But that part of the industry was so much fun. It was just fun.
No, I mean, for me, it's easy to say, like, listening to so many people that I hear who have been to them parked, you know, who are around in them days, like, for me, it can bring a tear to my eye. That's how, like, you know, romanticized that whole era of hip hop is for me. But I mean, at that time, could you feel that it was something pivotal that was happening?
No. I mean, I can't lie. I mean, we know it was something special that we had, but we thought it was a us thing. You know what I mean? We thought it was just ours. We didn't really know that, you know, it ultimately is going to wind up belonging to the world the way it did. We just thought it was a Bronx thing and this and that. And that's where the respect from the, you know, the late, great Miss Sylvia Robinson come in hand, because she had, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about her, actually. You know, like, what was it?
Yeah, that's where her genius came in, because she was able to look and see what we was doing in Bodwin. You know what I mean? Whereas that's where so great of her genius came in. We didn't have that. You know what I mean? We didn't have that insight like that. We were good at what we was doing. We was the best at what we was doing. But she had that vision to turn this into the industry. And nobody in this whole industry can take credit for that. She single-handedly built this hip-hop empire, what it is, you know what I mean?
Incredible. You know, and I often feel that she didn't necessarily get as much big ups as she sort of deserved when you consider how many careers she played a part in, you know, and also being a woman in the music biz, even today, it's an achievement to like really be breaking ground like that. So back then, she was a true female pioneer. It's pretty incredible in such a male-dominated game too, which hip-hop is now.
Yes, well, I mean, I guess, you know, one of the original guys right here, you know what I mean, Mr. Warren Moore, you know, who's out here representing Sugar Hill, who's also an original member of the West Street Mob, he could tell you a little something, because he actually was there in the Sugar Hill building from day one, even before me.
How you doing?
Wow, how lovely to have you here. It's fantastic to be talking with you guys. Like, what were those early days of the Sugar Hill Records family operations like? Like, what was it like to be part of that family?
Oh, it was just a pleasure to be around these people. You know, they brought me to places I've never been to, seen. None of some of the finer things in life. At first, it was all quiet, but once Rapid Delight came out, everything just seemed to explode.
Incredible.
You know, the hip-hop era was there.
And you,
and you never thought that it would be this big.
Incredible. And it's just so timeless, too. I mean, when you still now... Like Rapper's Delight is a record that I, as a DJ, can drop in a club all over the world and it will still rock the party. Like, that is the definition of, like, quality, timeless music.
Absolutely. You're right. And especially this Friday, Saturday at the Jazz Cafe. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yes, and it's, Sugar Hill broke so many grounds as well. Like, not only just the first label to really, like, push these artists, but to be Sugar Hill Gang to be the first hip-hop superstars in many ways. Some of the most influential artists in hip-hop and first hip-hop recording pioneers, first touring group, like, in hip-hop. How is it that, you know, you guys have managed to carry so many titles over the years and still your name is, like, relevant, you know?
Well, it's all the fans. The fans have been great to us over all these years. You know, the record was released in 79. The fans were great then, and they're still great. Thank God.
Absolutely incredible. And, like, for me, I understand that everyone has, we all have bills to pay, innit? And it's like, we all want to see, be credited for our work and everything. But I think you guys' reputation and your the amount of joy that you've brought to the world, like, that's priceless, you know?
Yes.
And you're looking forward to performing across the UK over this coming week?
Absolutely. UK is one of my favorite places to come to perform.
Yes, and then also Scorpio. I was definitely curious to ask you guys about how Furious Five formed. Like, because there's lots of different ways the story has been told over the years. But, like, well, for the record, tell us how that all came together.
I mean, for the record, I know it's been a lot of, you know, a lot of different ways they think Furious Five formed. How it actually performed was Slash was a DJ, and he ultimately set up shop in our neighborhood. You know what I mean? And he didn't have a good speaking voice. You know what I mean? His thing was turntable. You know, he was a turntable specialist. And he used to leave the mic on the table. You know what I mean? And then one day, Cowboy just so happened to get on the mic. And then he became the first MC. You know what I mean? And then Melly Mel and his brother, you know, Kid Creole, they was practicing rhymes. And then that's when those was actually the first two guys in the history of hip-hop that actually started rhyming on beat. You know what I mean? Even though they had somebody like Cool DJ Herkout and Africa Bambaataa, you know, they had their clique from Bronx River, but it was Mel and Kid Creole that actually started the rhymes, you know, even coining all of the phrases like the Yes, Yes, Y'all, to the beat, Y'all, the beat, you know, all that stuff came from our camp, from Melly Mel and Kid Creole. They created all of that, you know what I mean? And by the time I got in the group, you know what I mean? You know, a lot of time I read out there that Grandmaster Flash, you know, he say that, you know, he put us together. You know what I mean? That's not true. He didn't put us together. You know, Cowboy came on his own, he grabbed the mic. And when Melly Mel came and they got down, by the time I got in the group, Flash didn't really say who was coming or going. Mel put me in the group. You know what I mean? He was like, yo, Scorp, my man, whoopie whoop. You know, we was friends from public school, so he the one that put me in the group, and then I'm the one that went and got Raheem, you know what I mean? I got Raheem, brought him around, he did a party with us, and then me and Mel went back to his house to put him in the group. So we basically formed ourselves, believe it or not, even though I know the story is out there. You know, I heard a lot of interviews last year and say, yo, you know, and he's taking credit, like he formed us, like, he picked me because I was fly. He picked Mel because he was lyrical. Cowboy was the crowd rocker. Nah, we formed ourselves. The Furious Five really formed ourselves. Flash had the intricate part because he was the DJ. It was his set, and he was DJing in our neighborhood. That's why mostly everybody from the Furious Five, besides Raheem, we all from the same neighborhood because he ultimately set up shop in our neighborhood. Mm. If Flash would have been playing somewhere else, 9 out of 10 times, he would have had other MCs. But because he came to our neighborhood, that's why all of us is from the same neighborhood.
So what, on a personal level between yourself and Flash then, like, what's the deal? Is it all cool and ironed out, or is there still...
Oh, hell no. Oh. Hell no. It ain't cool and ironed out. I mean, it could be. Matter of fact, what's crazy, I'm quite sure y'all seen all of the press about, you know, Grandmaster and the things that, you know, I was saying and Mel was saying. It's funny, too, because soon as the first day when I got off this tour, me and my man Corey O, you know what I mean? He's out here representing New Jersey, running with Sugar Hill and the whole nine. First person we see when we get off the elevator, come up to the UK, is Flat.
Wow. Then what happens? Wow.
I'm looking at this dude. I'm like, yo, this dude looks familiar. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, Flat. I just walked up to him and said, yo, what's up, man? You know what I mean? And, oh, yo, he was kind of shocked, I guess, after all of the shit, all the stuff he's seen in the press. You know what I mean? That I guess he thought I'll be standing. Man, listen, yo, look, at the end of the day, I still got love for my brother, man. You know, we did something. We did something so incredible to the planet Earth. You can't take that away. You can't erase it.
Honestly, the only problem
that the Fury is for me and Mel have with Flash is that he never wants to acknowledge that because we left his name in front of our name, that was the main reason that he's able to work the way he's able to work. Because when you hear Grandmaster Flash, you don't just think of the DJ. He trying to think, put it in a content like, yo, they just talking about me. Just they talking about everything under that umbrella. They think they talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, first hip hop Grandmaster Flash for his father. They talking about White Lines. They talking about the messes. They talking about all of that. And that's the only problem we have with him. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, hypothetically, if you had somebody like, I'm just going to use an example, somebody like Easy Rock, you know what I mean, and Rob Bass, you know what I mean, or somebody like Grandmaster D and Houdini. Now imagine Jahlil and Ecstasy doing all of the records, but they can't get no work, but Grandmaster D can get all of the work.
Yeah, and that, of course, I can understand how something like that can become salty, you know, like, for real.
It's not even, you know what? It's economic. It's like, you know, he's in a situation where he can reap all of the benefits for all of the work that we did. Not saying that he didn't contribute, you know what I mean? But for him not to, like, yo, fellas, yo, you know what I mean? He know how he's eating, and he's not just eating because... That's this great DJ, because there's a lot of great DJs that came out of the Bronx in the same era. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not working like him. He's working because we left his name in front of our name. In that era, most DJs, like when they had Breakout and the Funky Four or DJ such and such in the Treacher Street, if you notice, all of their records, they took their DJ name off. And it just became the Funky Four, or the Treacherous Street, or the Fantastic Five. They took their DJ name off. We the only one that left our DJ name the original way.
I know. No, it is pretty cold-blooded when you break it down like that. And then also when you see how much impact and how that those records have just gone all over the world and influenced so many people. Still, for me, as a dedicated hip-hop fan, like, it doesn't take away from this, like, priceless contribution that you guys have been part of. You know, you've given me personally so much in my life. So that's something incredible to be proud of, you know. And not anyone can say that they've achieved that in life. But there's something that I'm so curious to know from you guys. When was the first time, like, each of you heard the word hip-hop?
Well, the cowboy created it. Ooh. I mean, I see that's another thing that people don't know, that not only, you know, we had an impact with, you know, Flash being the first DJ to scratch on beat, or Mel and Cree was the first MC to rhyme on beat, Cowboy was the one that created the term hip-hop. And they don't know our group created that shit. You know what I mean? Because one of the cats was going into the army, and then the cowboy used to always use this, you know, that the army, you know, afraid hip hop, the hip to the hip hop, you don't stop. You know,
we used to do that so much that after a while, that's how people used to describe us. So when we, you know, we up in the Bronx, you know what I mean, poverty-stricken neighborhood. So the people downtown, like Studio 54s and all of that other par stuff, that's how they describe us. Like, I know y'all not going to come in here with all that hip-hop, hippity-hip shit and all of that.
Like, what year are you talking about? What year is this that you're talking about?
Are we talking about, like, 77, 78?
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Shit like that, 78. You know what I mean? That's how they used to describe us. Like, they use it as a derogatory term, and we ultimately changed it. Now it's the thing, it's a badge of honor. It's almost like back in slavery where, you know, when white Caucasians used to call us, you know, niggas, and then we have to almost take it and embody it, like, yo, what's up, my nigga? So we have to take the power away from it. And that's the same thing we did with hip-hop.
Well, damn, you certainly did that with hip-hop, because I think hip-hop is probably the most influential, like, genre of popular music's history. I think that's fair enough to say. And you guys are going to be performing this Saturday, is that correct, in London? It's the
Sugar
Hill. Yeah,
we're going to be 2 days back-to-back. So if anybody out there in London or in the place where you can get to us, we're going to be the Sugar Hill Gang, you know what I mean? Grandmaster Spirit 5, Tyler Scorpio, you know what I mean? Going to be at the Jazz Cafe on the 6th and the 7th. The 6th and the 7th.
So really, y'all people need to come through for a schooling. They get the proper schooling on hip-hop.
Yeah, man. Come holler at the legends, man. The difference between us, even when we get off a stage, we stay around. You know, we not only sign autographs, we have people, you know, we really kick it. You know, we ain't on that old Hollywood shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to do my best to come down. Unfortunately, my sister is getting married on Saturday. Well, not unfortunately.
Really?
Oh, I'm super happy for her. But yeah, I'm going to definitely try and make it on the other night, because, you know, that's a show that you got to see if you're a fan of hip-hop. There's a CD coming out as well that fans need to keep an eye out to. I think it's like a best of Sugar Hill. Is that correct?
No, yeah, that's the main thing that we're doing. We're just gearing up and getting our fan base back together. And ultimately, we're going to definitely drop our brand new records with Sugar Hill and Grandmaster Furious 5. I mean, that's the plan. We're working on that as we speak. Most of the stuff is already cut. I wish we could have, like, just dated, you know, had a day, you know, premiere on your joint, you know what I mean? So what I need to do is just stay in contact with y'all and maybe y'all could do an exclusive over here. That'd be banging.
We would absolutely love to. So please, please keep in touch. It's been such a pleasure and an honor to speak with you. Thank you so much, all of you guys, for joining us today. I hope to see you this weekend at the show in London. I have so much love for you guys. So don't forget that there's millions of people all over the world who truly love and appreciate you and the work that you've done, you know. So that is priceless.
One love. Yeah, your flash, yo. We know you out here. If you're in the building, come on through, man. I'm holler at your boy, man. Let's rock this shit out, man. You know what I mean? See how it's all right.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely speaking to all you guys, and have fantastic shows in London. And definitely keep us up to date with any music. Send it our way, okay?
One love.
Okay, peace, guys. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Lots of love.
Hey, very, very jealous that you got to catch up with Scorpio and some of Sugar Hill Gang. That was a very good interview, Sarah. That was really, really good.
A bit off the cuff.
Yes, indeed. Super pumped. You know, I'm very, very excited. I'm at that food bar, going to be up at Edinburgh Fringe for the whole month. They're doing a live show, which is very, very cool. It's going to be from Monday to Friday, and the first show is tomorrow, which is going to be very good. Joey Page is going to be presenting this one. The guests for tomorrow's show with Fubar live up at Edinburgh Fringe is Hal Cruttenden, Sarah Callaghan, Dilly Keen, and Charlie Baker. It's all in association with Underbelly. Fubar are going to be hosting a month of live shows from Edinburgh Fringe, and as we said, it'll be starting tomorrow. There's going to be some great presenters up there as well. There's going to be Lucy Porter, Angela Barnes, Matt Crosby, Joey Page, as we said, kicking it off tomorrow for us. Alex Lowe, Lou Sanders, Johnny, and there's tons and tons and tons going to be a stellar lineup of guests as well. Rob Beckett, Rick Edwards, Mark Watson, there's so much. Beardy Man, Dan Clark, Nish Kumar, tons and tons and tons. So that's it's going to be really, really
really fun with Fubar. Live from Edinburgh Fringe, kicking off tomorrow. It's going to be Monday to Friday, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Every day as of tomorrow. And I'll be up there as well. I'm going to be going up there. My show is called Songs That Will Never Leave My Bedroom. I'm going to be up at Sneaky Pete's from the 16th to the 29th of August. Cannot wait to get up there and hang out with everybody.
No, I've never been to Edinburgh. Oh,
it's so much fun.
How shameful is that?
I did it
like up the road.
I did it a few years ago, and it's just so much fun. Because the second biggest fringe as well is Adelaide Fringe, and over in Australia. And the comparison is Adelaide has approximately about 500-600 shows, and the Edinburgh Fringe has about 3,500. So that's kind of the difference.
I had no idea that Adelaide was the second biggest after Edinburgh. Yeah, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's a jewel in Adelaide's crown.
Yes, it certainly is. So that's going to be very fun. Make sure you stay locked for Fubar for all your Ed Fringe updates as well.
Yes, and you know what time it is nearly ready for. It's time for...
Are you taking a piss?
So you need to be hitting us up at TuesdayDrive@FubarRadio.com. You can tweet us as well at Fubar Radio. Straight after this tune, we want to know this week what has made you say...
Are you taking a piss?
And you know, as always, I've got things to vent about, so... You know, get involved. You're locked into Fubar Radio with Sarah and Hugh. That's brand new music from the one like Verb T, representing the UK, and ill-informed the man with the foggy eyes. You know, it's all about celebrating that quality UK music. Yep. Got plenty of time for that here. But right about now, it's like one of my favourite parts of the show, really. It's time for it. Some...
Are you taking a piss?
So what this week, Hugh, has there been anything that's like really gotten
there
you...
There has, but I want to flip the script on this. Because I'm going to do Are You Take... I had an Are You Taking the Piss yesterday where I was like, somebody did something so nice... Mm-hmm. That actually made me say, hang on, are you taking
are
the
you
piss?
Real? Is this a joke? Is this a trick?
Yeah, I know. I seriously thought that. So I know we
That's what it becomes like living in London. It's like someone acts nicely to you and you're like, hold on, suspicion first. Yeah.
Well, I was sitting at a pub in Camden yesterday afternoon having a beer with a friend who an elderly American couple was sitting next to us, like we're sharing the table, and they had heard my friend complaining that like, oh, I haven't had enough, because they're from Australia, my friend as well, mm-hmm. and they were saying, oh, I haven't had a chance to go and do anything, you know, all the sort of little touristy bits and bobs that I wanted to do. And they, the American couple piped in and they said, hey, we've got these things called a London Pass. It's like get to the value of like 550 quid or something. They bought them for like 300 quid, and it basically gets you in free to just about any of these sort of major touristy attraction-y things, Tower of London, all those sorts of things, all around London. And they were like, here, you can just have them. And they gave it to us, and I was like, what?
Really? There's got to be a trick somewhere.
Are you taking a piss?
They're like ricing in this or something.
What do you want? What do you want? So, yeah, that's my my.
You are truly
vibes.
Becoming a Londoner.
Yeah.
For you to
Skeptical.
Be suspicious of those kind of behaviours. So, remember, we want to hear from you guys. Yeah. Reach us on twitter.com/FubarRadio. You can email us too with your anon in somewhere emails, even though we have your email address. So, you know, that kind of. Anyway, but you can hit us on the email at TuesdayDrive@FubarRadio.com. Too, and let me and you know what this week has made you say.
Are you taking a piss?
Now for me,
what's been going on? Come on.
I don't like this new like digital era, the way things are going, and like AI and all this like more robotic way of operating. It's like presented to us as though this is progress, but it's not progress. So I went into the bank the other day, the same bank I've been going to like basically my whole life.
Yep.
There's no one working in there.
Oh.
It's just machines.
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
It's just the Terminator and the T-1000.
Yeah, that's not...
It's whack.
What actually happened? What was the interaction that you had with said computer?
Well, I was just doing with cash withdrawals. I don't really count. But, I mean, it's just like whack because you want to... I think the more that we just have this machine interaction and less, like, community, real-life social interactions, the more robotic people are going to become, the more hostile and suspicious we're going to be of just dealing with people in
Absolutely.
Normal circumstance. And it's like it's much easier to ask someone who actually knows what they're talking about rather than trying to just get a degree and operate in this machine and then make it do something simple that you want to do. It's ridiculous. And then also it means that now you can take like as much as $1,000 out. Yeah, if you want a ball like Snoop Dogg, you could even take like $1,000 out of the cash machine. That's not safe.
I know, that's not safe at
all. Like what if someone's got you at gunpoint and they take you to the cash point?
going to get robbed by a computer. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, so it's like,
are you taking the piss?
All you banks who are switching up and sacking all these people. And the same thing in the tube station. I went to the tube station the other day and I was working in there.
Yeah.
It's just the machines.
No, it's not. It's not
right. It's whack. What are they doing to us? They're breaking down our community. I like my little crew of people at my local tube station.
Yeah.
So I've been knowing them for years. I say hello to them, you know. Yeah. They're like part of the extended family.
Oh, they really are. And it is a shame.
I don't like it. No, I'm not feeling it. No. But a more significant issue than that, and then this is really serious business, this one. I mean, it is really bad how like people are losing their jobs and won't be able to feed their families because they're giving their jobs to computers and stuff. But this is way more pertinent. A known DJ in the UK, I'll hold back.
Want to rinse him out?
No,
go on.
I won't. But he's pretty well known. He is a well known DJ. He DJs for a very high profile artist here in the UK. And for me to see him on Twitter saying, his tweet was, "If that Zayn Malik track listing is true, then wow, he's flipping it."
Are you taking a piss?
Why the hell are you tweeting about anything to do with One Direction?
Oh, because he's apparently going to be the new JT. That's why.
Are you taking a piss?
I couldn't give a damn. No, maybe if he like invented a time machine, I would care, kind of thing. But seriously, you have lost all kudos by even discussing anything to do with the fact you even know dude's name.
Are you taking the piss?
Get out of here with that, man. That's foolishness.
Hey, I got, well, before you jump into all of your tweets.
No, I'm done. Sorry.
No.
But yeah, that is key, important issues.
I got a really, really quick one of me taking the piss on the weekend.
You were taking the piss?
Yeah, well, okay. I just lost track of time, so I was rushing out the door on Saturday, and I was like, damn, I literally didn't have time to do the dishes and just like tidy up all my shit because I live in a share house in Bow with a couple of people. So I just ran out the door and I was like, shit, sorry. Like, you know, I had to, because my flatmate Matt was coming home pretty soon. So I was like, just got to remember to message him. Before I remembered to message him, he messaged me and goes, who left the freezer door open? Everything has been defrosted and all that food is ruined. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh,
I left the house in a state and I left the bloody freezer door open by accident. I just, Hugh. Are you taking... Yes.
You're lucky you didn't get kicked out then and there.
All right, let's jump into yours. Hearing from you guys, tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email us tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. We've got Sam in West Ham. Hey, guys, if one of you doesn't do a rap today, well, because Doc's away, of course, rap about anything, then you're taking a piss. I'd like one on pickled onions and candy floss, please. Damn, Sam and West Ham, you must be the man. But we can't kick it like Doc, you know that we can.
That's as deep as it's going to get.
That's as deep pickled as onions. It's gonna get. There you go, you got a little
does
rap
Monster
in there.
Does Monster Munch exist? Yeah. Nah, same, yeah, it does.
All right, got another one from Stan in Ashford, tweeted us at FUBAR Radio. Yo, you were taking a piss by not having that dude from Pimlico on. Has he gone MIA? Has he gone MIA?
Pete and Pimlico. Yay.
Are you taking
a
piss?
Going AWOL. That's not allowed, man.
Nah, we've also got Florian Staines has tweeted us at FUBAR Radio. I'm on a juice diet and I really fancy chocolate. I haven't had it for a week, so when I say fancy it, it's kind of getting sexual. Nothing's taking the piss here. She just wanted to say that she's getting horny over chocolate.
What's lady's name?
Nothing to do with are you taking the piss at all. Florian Staines. I love you, Florian Staines. That's brilliant.
The juice fast is taking the piss.
I reckon go home, put some lights down low, dim some lights, put on some like, you know, some put on some smooth music and just.
But you know, it can have disastrous knickers, effects after like having the detox to then just like having the binge. So it's got to be slowly, love.
Lacey from Essex, she's tweeted us at FUBAR Radio. Haven't seen my best friend in months and we arranged to meet up this Friday and she just messaged me to tell me that she's getting her nails done so she won't be able to make it. Ditching me to get your nails done?
Are you taking the piss?
Yes, she is, Lacey.
Wow.
She is definitely. You could have done her nails for her. Two birds, one stone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, but then you don't have the same tools and equipment as they have at the nail shop. That's deep. Your friend ditched you.
Are you taking the piss?
For the nail shop.
For the nail shop. I love this. This is another one. Completely random. This is the segment. We give you the opportunity. What has been taking the piss? Tell us what's been taking the piss. Ducky from Fulham tweets, hey. It's nearly winter, guys. I'm totes heartbroken.
Are you taking the piss?
Okay.
Hold on. Where do you live?
Okay, Fulham.
Is that nearly winter?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all it says. It doesn't say, hey.
Good luck, Ducky, because things are going to get a lot worse than it is right now in August, okay? This is the best it's going to get.
Love this.
You just got to embrace it, dude.
And we also got Charlie in Brighton has tweeted us at Fubar Radio. The bloody self-service tills at shops.
In
take
it.
The bloody piss.
Thank you.
Piss?
What's dude's name?
This is Charlie in Brighton.
Charlie, yeah. Can we all start a petition or something? Yeah. The other day I was at the bloody shop. I always avoid that. I'm happy to queue, even if it takes longer just to avoid that self-service nonsense. What about, why are they trying to turn us all into robots, man? It's nonsense.
Know.
And then also it's like, I'm going to a shop to deal with someone who knows what they're doing, so I don't have to do it. I don't want another responsibility. I got enough stuff to worry about in my life.
Are you taking the piss?
That's also what Charlie says as well. Charlie says, no, I do not have an unidentified item in the baggage, apart from my knuckle duster, if you don't hush it. Apparently Tesco are changing all the voices, so it's a little bit more user-friendly.
I was wondering, like, who is that woman? Because she could just walk around surprising people like, but, so I was quite curious as to who that woman is. And then also I feel sorry for the people who are like the ones manning the stations in case things go wrong and they have to help them, which doesn't make sense anyway.
No.
But those poor people where all day long they're just listening to that woman say, unidentified
area.
Oh, my goodness. God, Thank you, Charles. Yeah. At least I know I'm not the only person, but I fully think those things are taking the piss, to the El Maximus. But, so keep them coming in to us, over the week, too, because, we can fit these in into next week's show every Tuesday, 4 till 6 p.m. We love to represent you people. The show is all about you. And you never know, we might be hearing from Pete and Pimlico next week, for all we know.
Don't.
So you're just going to have to tune in to find out. If you missed out on all of the ill interviews we had this week, too, make sure you listen back on the podcast as well. There's so many ill things happening this week that I've just run out of time to shout out for you. But it's been an absolute pleasure, and we will join you guys again next week for more Hugh, Sarah and Doctor. And I believe Doc is with us.
Doc is with us, and we're all going to be back next week, which is very, very cool. Very good.
Out.
Later.